This is Jay Sekulow. The president orders 250 troops to Syria.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And we continue to make progress, pushing ISIL back from territory that it controlled. And just as I've approved additional support for Iraqi forces against ISIL, I've decided to increase U.S. support for local forces fighting ISIL in Syria.
The military strategy that we're embarked on is the best way to destroy ISIL, and it's what you recommended. Or is it limited by conditions put on you by the White House?
Senator, to clarify, so if I say...
Would you do more if you could?
I would do more if I could, but the limitation is not just a political limitation. Part of it is our partners on the ground.
As we move forward in this fight, we have to wield another weapon alongside our airstrikes, our military, and our counterterrorism work, and our diplomacy. And that's the power of our example. Our openness to refugees fleeing ISIL's violence. Our determination to win the battle against ISIL's hateful and violent propaganda. A distorted view of Islam that aims to radicalize young Muslims to their cause.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I want to begin with an observation that, given the challenges that we face in the world and the headlines we see every day, may seem improbable, but it's true. We are fortunate to be living in the most peaceful, most prosperous, most progressive era in human history.
I am second to none in my respect for the special forces, but to send 250 of them over to defeat ISIS is a joke. What the president is doing is everyone is saying, look, we're losing this war. They're now in Europe. Terrorists are in Europe. Terrorists are throughout North Africa. They're throughout the Middle East. They're starting with the ISIS state of the Islamic State. What are you going to do about it? And so he has something he's got to do. What's he going to do? He's going to throw a couple of troops at it.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. This Monday, we're talking about a big issue, and that is the issue of the president sending 250 special force troops to Syria. What does that mean in light of the conflict in Syria? Of course, ISIS gaining more ground on a regular basis there. We're going to talk about this. Obviously, tomorrow's broadcast, we'll be talking about the primary upcoming in Indiana, where it goes from there. But today, I want to talk about international affairs because the situation in Syria did not get the attention, frankly, that it deserved. And we're going to get into that on this broadcast today. Joining me in our studio is retired Colonel Wes Smith, who is a senior military advisor to the ACLJ, senior counsel Skip Ash, also retired military colonel, Army, both Army guys. And Logan and I are here as well in our media center. And we're going to go right to this discussion of the situation in Syria. I want to get some interesting comments from everyone right off the bat. Wes, let me go to you first. You've written an article. We have it up on our website where words matter and so do boots. Your theory, in a nutshell, can we get the condensed version? We'll get into it more during the course of the broadcast. The president sending these troops, does it mean anything?
Well, it's just a continuation of him reacting to the mission there, and not in a forceful or direct way. My biggest problem, as I mentioned in the article, is not whether or not we send ground troops in or how many we send, but the fact that even as he is sending them, the White House released a statement that said that they are not going to engage the enemy. He continues to say they're not combat troops, and yet these American personnel are in danger. Yep. They're armed. It is combat, regardless of what the administration says.
So, Skip, the president said, why would you say the number of troops, special forces you're sending, first of all? I don't even understand why you'd say that, except he's trying to appease his left flank, so to speak.
I think you're right there. I think he's trying to make sure that he doesn't have resistance or too much resistance from his left flank. But at the same time, it's an absolutely idiotic thing to do to let the enemy know what you're doing. It's one of those things that you never want to do that. You want to come in, you want to do your thing, but you want to keep them guessing on what's happening. So 250, I'm not sure if that's the right number, but I don't know what he wants to do. It's more like he's trying not to lose than trying to win. But you're absolutely right. He's not listing or mentioning more because he wants to keep peace on his left flank.
Yeah, I think this is there's a serious political decision here. What does that mean for the troops? We're going to take a look at that when we come back from the break. Logan, we're going to take calls. We're going to take comments on Periscope and Facebook as well.
That's right. People are already commenting right now, and you can join us each and every day on Facebook and Periscope, as a lot of people are right now. Thousands of people are joining us, getting their comments in, being a part of this discussion at 1-800-684-3110.
Back with more, including your calls and comments, in just a minute.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Words matter and so do boots. This is an article from R. West Smith, a retired colonel from the United States Army. He's got an article up on the situation in Syria. Let me read you the first line. The Obama administration announced this week that an additional 250 special forces troops are being sent to Syria to support rebels fighting ISIS, the Islamic State. This comes less than 1 week after the announcement that an additional 217 U.S. Army soldiers are being deployed in Iraq in order to support the Iraqi military in their ongoing fight with ISIS. Both of these statements come after the revelation that the United States Marine Corps' artillery unit, which was placed near the ISIS-controlled territory to provide battery and counter-battery fire in support of the troops, suffered casualties. So, Wes, we're putting troops in harm's way, and we're basically saying don't engage.
Exactly. And it's massively misleading to the American people who may or may not understand what the military does. But when troops are in harm's way and they're being fired upon and they have to return fire, by definition, that is combat, and those are combat troops. And I think when the president, you know, equivocates on this,
yep,
that it sends a message to our enemies. It telegraphs what the limitations of our troops will be as well as the numbers. And it also sends, I think, a confusing message to our troops.
So, Skip, let me ask you this question. Why, you know, we talked about this right before the break, and the president gives a number to downplay the amount of people that are being involved there. But what does this, you're a soldier, you're a fighter, you commanded a tank units. What does this actually do militarily?
Well, I think what it does, first of all, just by giving the amount of number and saying that they're not allowed to engage in combat operations, as Wes said, is absolutely idiotic, because they're going to have to do that if they're attacked. And if they are expected not to engage in combat, then what are their lives worth? You know, when we commit our men and women to combat and to a dangerous situation, we have to give them the support that they will prevail and that we do not spend their lives cheaply. So this is sending a very bad message to our own troops, and it's sending a message of weakness to our enemies. And it's just insufferable. As an Army officer in a combat arms unit, I just cannot understand why anyone would do this. It's a total lack of loyalty to the men and women in uniform.
Well, it diminishes the service of our troops, Skip, and it discounts the danger that they're actually in.
Well, and listen, the president's, you mentioned the danger, Wes. The president's very clear. Let me play you. This is what he said just a couple of days ago.
As a general rule, the rule is not to engage directly with the enemy, but rather to work with local forces. That's consistent with our overall policy throughout.
Yeah. What that overall policy is throughout, by the way, I'm still not clear. But anyways, we got a lot of comments coming in, a lot of calls coming in. Logan, what do you want to take? Comment or call first?
There's a lot of comments. This is, you know, why announce this? This is dumb. That's
right.
Coming from Sherry. I don't like this at all. We need to be forceful if it feels like we're sitting ducks. That was from Kathy. Yep. There's a lot of comments that are coming in like that. One sure. said, are those 200, this is an interesting one from Joy. She said, are those 250 going to be called troops on the ground?
Well, Skip, are they troops on the ground?
They are troops on the ground. I mean, this is where it's so deceitful here, because we are placing troops in the combat area where they are likely to come in contact with the enemy, which also has a say in what happens in this, by the way. And they are going to be looking for our troops because it's going to be a great propaganda victory sure. if they begin to kill Americans.
So they're boots on the ground, Wes.
Yeah, absolutely. They're boots on the ground, and they
may or may not be able to defend themselves.
More than likely, the ground command, they're going to be allowed to defend themselves. But again, it's sending a confusing message to the troops,
sure.
to the American public. It sends, I think, if anything, a comforting message to the enemies.
Sure.
It's continuing to play out the narrative that the president wants, that we're not engaged in combat.
Let me ask you this. I want to ask both of you this quick answer, and then I want to play something. So let me start with Skip, then I'll go to Wes. Skip, are these troops in a combat role?
They are in a combat role just by virtue of being okay. where they are.
Got it. Combat role, Wes?
Absolutely. And they, as all troops in Syria and Iraq are doing now, wherever they are, they receive hazardous duty pay.
Yeah, well, Josh Earnest disagrees with you guys, and you guys are both colonels, and he wasn't, but here's what he said.
They are not in a combat role, but they are in a role that puts them in harm's way. They are armed for combat. They are armed to defend themselves if necessary. But the role that they have is to offer advice and assistance to forces on the ground fighting ISIL in their own country.
There you have it. So a little bit of a disagreement there. I'll choose our experts over his. All right, let's go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. What do we have first, Logan?
Yeah, let's go to Don, who's calling from Hanson, Massachusetts, on line one.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Hey, you're on the air.
I was just concerned because 250 does not sound like a lot.
It's not.
And I'm afraid for their lives.
Well, look, we should all be, as Americans, concerned about this. First of all, we don't even know who we're supporting there. The president's not naming who the enemy is. I mean, are we trying to still, I mean, Skip, are we still trying to topple Assad? Is that what this is about?
Well, I think right now.
Who's behind him? It could be worse.
That's true. But I don't think with 250 people, that has nothing to do with taking on Assad. This purely has to be with trying to get at ISIS, and who knows if this is going to be enough. It seems to me a piecemeal approach is not the approach we need right now.
Well, not only piecemeal approach, Wes, but I go back to what I said in the beginning here. The idea that we're telegraphing to ISIS, of all people, oh, we're only sending 250 people and they're not in a combat role. So ISIS, who's very sophisticated, said this the other day on radio, very sophisticated in media, monitoring social media, monitoring the press. Mm-hmm. We know that. Osama bin Laden was monitoring the press,
sure.
but ISIS is doing it. They've got command centers and media centers. To tell them, we're sending 250 troops over there, but don't worry, they're not in a combat role. Why would you tell ISIS this?
There's no reason to tell ISIS this. They are. Again, as you alluded to earlier, I think the president is trying to appease, the more left-wing radical part of his party and to not create controversy with them. But it's a disservice to our troops, and it's confusing. And if you're going to go into a combat situation, you want to go in decisively and know what you're there for and get in and get out. And that has been totally lost for the last almost 8 years.
Yeah. I mean, this whole situation is really troubling. So if you're just joining us, the president sends 250 troops to Syria to do what exactly? That's what we're trying to figure out. And I don't think the president has an answer to that. Let's go ahead, Logan, take another call.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Lots of calls coming in. If you want to chime in, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to James calling from Tacoma, Washington.
Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So my question is this. If with him sending in 250 troops yep. into Syria in a non-combat role, are we engaging? He says we're not. Are we engaging in war? And if so, with who? It's unconstitutional. There's never been a declaration yep. of war. And our top military brass that opposed him is virtually non-existent anymore. What do we as a people do to stop this?
Well, you raise a good question. And you also wrote, or the person that was screening the call said, you also want to know, we're starting a war with Syria and Russia. And Skip and I just finished working on a book that's going to be coming out in the fall called Unholy Alliance, and that is Syria, Russia, and Iran. Let's explain, Skip, for a moment here, the Syria, Russia, and Iran connection, because I think it's significant for people to understand. When we're talking about troops in Syria, we almost are in a proxy war now with the Russians again.
Absolutely. What we have with those three nations, Russia and Iran right now, along with Syria, are pariah nations in the world. These are nations that are on the outside looking in. They're not part of the normal community of nations because of their actions, their military actions.
Yep.
So because they are pariah nations, they have formed a bond, and the Russians and the Iranians see an opportunity to go into the Middle East and expand their influence there. Syria is the means by which they do that because Syria is right in the middle and it's very weak and needs help from outside. So it's a very fluid situation and it's very dangerous. And if we aren't careful, we could create a situation that might draw us in to a situation we don't want to be in.
Well, so we've gotten pretty close. I mean, you got Russia flies planes over Turkey. Turkey shoots the jet down, Wes. We know that happened.
Right.
Russia flies planes within 50 feet of our naval ships in international waterways, but in the region, in the Middle East, and they do it multiple times.
Right.
These are acts of aggression, and they're certainly sending a message. Are we looking at, and that's why I want to do this special broadcast today, are we looking at the possibility, if we're not, because of the way this is going down, that we could be in this kind of proxy war with the Russians?
I think we are, and of course, you can actually inadvertently get into a shooting war
yep.
with the Russians because of what's going on. I think President Putin is taking advantage of what he sees as a weak and feckless policy regarding the region.
They don't fear us.
They do not fear us, and as has been said many times, our enemies don't fear us, and our allies, don't
trust
respect
us
or trust us.
Yeah, this is the situation we're in, folks. All right, we're taking your calls. Special on Syria tomorrow will be political. Today is a big issue in foreign policy that we wanted to get into because there's a Russian-Iran-Syria connection here. We're going to get into the Iran aspect of this in the next segment. But let's go ahead and take another comment or call.
Well, we only got about a minute left in this segment, but if you want to be a part of the conversation, 1-800-684-3110. But we do have lots of comments came in. This is an interesting one from Andrea. It's a dear ISIS. I'm sending 250 people to your front door. They're unarmed and have been instructed not to fight back. Feel free.
Well, there. I
to
mean,
take
that's
any
like,
action
that's,
as you
who
wish.
Gave, who wrote that?
Andrea Christman.
Well, Andrea's. That's about how absurd this is. I'm glad we were able to do Facebook and Periscope because what a statement. Now read that again. I want people to hear this. This is what this company. This is done in a kind of a caustic way, but you need to understand almost what we're telegraphing.
All right. This came again from Andrea Christman, who said, "Dear ISIS, I'm sending 250 people to your front door. They are unarmed, have been instructed to not fight back. Feel free to take any action you see fit."
That's pretty strong. That's what we're dealing with. An administration in the Middle East that is lost, that is feckless, that is causing problems. We're going to be back with a lot more coming after the break. More of your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Taking a break from politics today, but tomorrow we'll be right back at it.
That's right. One line open to right now, 1-800-684-3110. Be a part of this broadcast today, 1-800-684-3110.
Back with more in just a minute.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about the president sending 250 troops to Syria. Non-combat, as Josh Earnest has said. We've defined, you've heard from two of our military experts, Colonel Skip Ash, retired, United States Army, head of our National Security Group, senior counsel for the ACLJ. Colonel Wes Smith, retired, U.S. Army, special senior advisor to the ACLJ on military matters. And our guys, our experts say, they are in harm's way. It's a military action. The president can call it what he wants. But the reality is this is sending a bad signal, and we don't even have a mission defined. But we've got a tremendous amount of calls coming in right now, so I think we need to get right back to him.
Yep, let's go to LaVon, who's calling from Pineville, Oregon. LaVon, you're on the air.
Hi, LaVon.
Hi there.
Hey.
You know, as just a regular person, citizen, I feel so frustrated by this because, I mean, it's just like, what's his end game? I mean, don't you normally have a reason and give a goal?
Yep.
Look,
I mean, when I have a case, the first thing I do is define what's a victory here. What are we seeking to accomplish? And in leadership, you want to have a definitive goal in front of your team so that they know that we're all working on the same mission. Now, that's supposed to be West part of the Army's core. But I can't tell what the mission is here.
No, it's very confusing, I think, even to the people on the ground there, as well as to people like your caller in the American public, because the mission is not well defined. And, you know, early on when ISIS first, you know, started raising their heads up in the sand over there, the president said he wanted to diminish and ultimately destroy ISIS. I've never heard of a war any time in our nation's history where we wanted to diminish the enemy. That's not what the military does.
Yeah. So, Skip, mission definition or lack of mission definition, how important is it as a commander of troops? You've done it. How important is it and what's missing here?
Yeah, it's absolutely important, because if you don't know what you're expected to attain, then you don't know what resources it requires. You don't know where to place them. You don't know how to use them. It seems to me that right now what the president is trying to do is not to lose before he leaves office. He doesn't want to have a defeat on his watch, but he's not willing to take the measures and take the actions necessary to achieve a victory. And by doing that, he will expend people's lives needlessly, not just American lives, but the lives of the people we're supposedly supporting.
Yeah, this is the lack of clarity of vision when you're leading, whether it's troops, leading an organization, leading a court case, is a problem. If you don't define what the end goal is, you've not defined your mission. You're actually harming your people, and you're putting your people in a more dangerous and damaging situation. I think that president's situation here is some kind of face-saving measure. But we cannot allow an army like ISIS to run rampant over the United States military. That's absurd. Logan?
Yeah, a lot of comments in. Maybe it's just people who are just joining a broadcast. A lot of people are saying, is non-combat, does that mean no guns or no weapons? Are they not armed? That's from Donna. Gene said non-combat, again, no guns. Jim says non-combative role. Does that mean they're not supposed to fight back? Maybe for those who are just tuning into this, sort of the end of the first half an hour, what is that non-combative role?
All right, so let me start with Skip on that one. Then I'll go to Wes. Skip, non-combative role, if you were the commander of those troops, what is it?
Okay, as I understand what the president wants, he wants they are armed, they are able to defend themselves, but he does not want them to engage in offensive operations. So he wants them to stay back as far as they can from the front to advise others to go and fight, but recognizing the fact that sooner or later the fight might be brought to them. But so in that sense, he's trying to keep them out of the fight, but he may not be able to.
So, Wes, you're position on this? I mean, this is because it's an interesting, I mean, it's a good question that came in.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a misunderstanding on the part of the administration, it seems like, of the battlefield anyway. There are not, you know, well-defined front lines. This is asymmetrical warfare. Anytime you send troops anywhere in that region, their lives are at risk, and it would be nice if they could pull back and say, we're keeping them behind the lines, but there's no way to do that. And then you combine that with Secretary of Defense Ash Carter this past week saying that for the first time ever, American soldiers are going to be placed at the battalion level with Iraqi battalions fighting ISIS. A battalion level, that is up front, up close and personal on the battlefield. They are engaged in combat at the battalion level.
Here's what the president told Charlie Rose, what the definition or the mission is here. Let's take a listen to this.
Us dismantling ISIL is a priority. And although we are not going to be sending ground troops in to fight, we are going to try to find out what works and then double down. And one of the things that's worked so far is us putting special forces in for training and advising of local forces, but also intelligence gathering.
So I don't even know what he's saying, because we're going to double down. So I guess we go from 250 to 500, and we're going to destabilize ISIS. We're going to send knockdown troops into fight. I mean, these are statements that are nonsensical.
Yeah, one person has chimed in. What can we do to correct this, and what would be our end goal? What do we hope happens? What's the best case scenario? This is from Sylvia.
So, okay, let me go to our military experts on this. I'll go Skip, then to Wes. So, Skip, we've got a situation. We know we're working with Congress on this, but the president's the commander-in-chief, so he gets to make the call. But folks, by the way, you know what this means? Guess what? Elections have consequences. Go ahead, Skip.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. The election has consequences. We have a president who will not utilize the talent he has in the Department of Defense and relies on young people with PhDs who have never worn a uniform in their life to second-guess the military and what needs to be done. And until he realizes that there's expertise and people who actually know how to do this, we are never going to be able to get it done. Hopefully, we'll have a president in a few months who will know what to do, know who to rely on, and to take the decisive action needed to not dismantle ISIS, but to utterly destroy them.
So I want to focus in on that dismantle versus destroy, because you brought that up, Wes. Military mission, when you've got an enemy, of course, we're not defining the enemy very well here, though the administration's not. What is the mission of the military traditionally?
To defeat the enemy and to guarantee national security. That's why they exist. And I misspoke. Actually, early on, the president did not say dismantle. He said degrade.
Degrade, right.
Degrade ISIS. You know, the most alarming thing about the piece you just played, Jay, to me, is when the president said, how long into this fight? We are going to see what works and double down. At this point,
3 years later.
3 years later, he doesn't know what works. If you listen to Secretary Gates and Secretary Panetta, they have told him repeatedly what will work, and he won't listen.
So here's the question then, Skip, and we're going to get more of your calls, by the way, at 800-684-3110. Now, Logan will let you know in a moment. We're here for another half hour. But, Skip, following up on what Wes said, I think it's a very important point. You have the Secretaries of Defense have said this is being handled wrong. Is this president still trying to minimize? I mean, we wrote the book on ISIS, The Rise of ISIS, was the book we wrote on this topic right when it happened. Why is the president not heeding the advice of his military experts?
I think it's because, first of all, he has a completely different ideology. His ideology, he wants to become Western Europe. He wants to become the social democratic state with a welfare state. And what's happening, the world situation is not fitting into his narrative. And he's trying not to have to deal with the problem that is, because he wants to create a situation the way he wants it. And I think until he recognizes that the other side has a say in this, and they're not just going to go away because we don't want them there, that he's going to have to, we will do nothing until he gets that reality.
All right, folks, we're here for another 30 minutes. Let me encourage you to stay engaged. Logan's going to let you know the multiple ways you can be watching this broadcast.
For today, you can hear it streaming the rest of the show, the next half hour on ACLJ.org or on the ACLJ app that you can get for your iPhone or iOS device. Two great ways to do it today. Then we'll be back later this week with Facebook and Periscope.
All right, we'll be back with more in just a moment.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
and so do boots. This is an article up at ACLJ.org by retired Colonel Wes Smith, who is a senior military advisor to the ACLJ in military affairs. He's joining us. Skip Ash, senior counsel of the ACLJ, also a retired colonel from the United States Army. By the way, if you didn't catch the show Friday, big win for Sergeant Charles Martland, as the United States Army said he gets to stay in. That's because 440,000 of you spoke out on his defense. We were joined late last week on Friday with Congressman Duncan Hunter, who thanked all of you for standing in there. We thank Duncan Hunter, of course, for standing with Charles Martland. But a great result for that sergeant. But as we say, next case, next issue. That case is won. We're glad. We're thrilled. But now we're on to the next issue. And that issue is the 250 troops going to Syria. Didn't get a lot of play in the media, Logan, this time because of all the election discussions.
That's right. The election's obviously taking up airtime. We're watching right now. It's Donald Trump. It's everything you're saying is all you see really right now in 24-hour cycle, broken up very briefly. I mean, we even saw
mentions.
Yeah, we even saw the passing of Prince when I think when Michael Jackson died. It was like weeks of coverage. Prince got about a day.
Yeah.
You know, so because we're back, we're in such a heavy cycle right now, the news, they have to get right back to what's going on in the political sphere.
So the Syria issue is not getting the attention it should. I want Skip to address this because this is subject to a book that we've got coming out in the fall that you'll want to get. We'll let you know in the next couple months how you can get it. It's called Unholy Alliance. It's Syria, Russia, and Iran. Skip, let's lay out for everybody because there is a causal connection between Syria, Iran funding Hezbollah, Iran getting money to Syria, Shia-based organizations, and then Russia in the middle of this. This is a unique triangle. Skip, how would you define it, and what are we dealing with?
Well, first of all, there are three legs to the triangle. There's a religious tie between Iran and the rulership, the senior leadership in Syria, and they have a tie religiously. There is a need for weaponry between Iran and Russia, and Russia is willing to provide weaponry to Iran and assist them. And then there's a relationship between Russia and Syria historically, because Russia has been looking for a warm water port. Syria has provided a naval base in Syria, and therefore there are ties that have common interests. Plus, both Iran and Russia have a vision of dominating the oil in the Middle East and therefore increasing their influence around the world. So it's a constellation of interests that have just come together right now,
yep.
And it's very dangerous for the United States, but it's also precipitated in large part by our president removing all U.S. influence from the Middle East and creating a vacuum into which Iran and Russia have moved quickly.
Wes, that vacuum that Skip mentioned, which I think is a huge factor here, mm-hmm. that when the United States left, that allowed Russia to re-engage the Middle East, which they had been out of since the fall of the Soviet Union, since 1989. Right. This vacuum is creating a problem for our allies in the region as well, not just the United States, but our allies also.
Right, and you look at Iraq, where we spent so many countless American lives, Al Sadr, who has the blood of many American service people on his hands, is now, demonstrating against the Iraqi government and trying to come back to power. And he is a pawn of Iran, so it's all interconnected there.
So you got a Syria connection, an Iran connection, an Iraq connection. I mean, this is a very, very dangerous alliance. Do we have time for one call, Logan, before the break?
We got about a minute and a half.
Let's take somebody.
We can do it real quick. All right, let's go to Carol, who's calling from Connecticut.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. Yep. Yeah, I'm just wondering, with ISIS, it seems like our president is serving up these 250 men and women on a silver platter.
I hope not.
They can't even defend themselves. Can the military stop this?
No. The president is the commander-in-chief. Under our Constitution, the president is the commander-in-chief. Now, they can defend themselves. I think we got to be clear, though. They can defend themselves. But as Wes, as you were saying, they're being put in harm's way here. So the chances of incoming is significant, and this can escalate very quickly, and there's not a clear signal as to what they're supposed to do.
Exactly. And, the young Marine that was killed a couple of weeks ago was with an artillery unit that we did not even know was there, but was killed by rocket fire from ISIS.
Yep.
Our special forces troops, when they're in the region, they have to travel,
yep.
and they have to be transported, and so there's the risk of being shot down, of being ambushed. I mean, the risks are great for these people.
We need to be praying for those troops. We've got an article up by Wes Smith. Words matter, and so do boots. Wes Smith is a retired colonel from the United States Army. He's also a senior military analyst for the ACLJ. We're going to be back with more of your phone calls in just a moment. We've got a line open so we can take some more phone calls.
Yep. 1-800-684-3110. Get on. A lot of you have been holding. We're going to get to you shortly.
1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about the situation in the Middle East and Syria in particular. Tomorrow we'll be talking about Indiana and the politics there, but we're taking a day break from that. Again, if you're joining us late, last week we got the word that we were successful in Sergeant Martland's case, working with Duncan Hunter and others around the country. 450,000 of you responded. Sergeant Martland will stay in the Army. Meanwhile, we're sending troops into the Army, 250 Special Force troops to Syria with no clear mission, no clear agenda, no clear vision of what they're supposed to do. And it could wreak havoc. And we're very concerned about that. Elections have consequences. The president's the commander-in-chief. He gets to make these decisions. I'm going to take a call in the night. I'm going to have Wes share a story. Because Wes handled the incoming killed in action as a chaplain at Dover Air Force Base. But let's go ahead and take a...
Sure. A lot of people have been holding for a while. This is Helen, who's calling from Oxford, Mississippi, on line one. Thanks for holding, Helen.
Helen, thank you. You're on the air.
Okay. I wanted to ask, you know, if Obama was sending 250 troops in... If he was serious, why is he just sending 250 in to get slaughtered?
Well, hopefully they're not getting slaughtered. I mean, I think we're putting them in a terrible situation. So, but our hopes and prayers are they're not slaughtered. But you asked the right question. Skip, why 250?
Well, I mean, he hasn't explained why 250 necessarily, right. I can understand why you're sending in special ops forces,
sure.
Because special ops is a force multiplier on the battlefield. They have a greater impact than their immediate numbers. At the same time, they're very independent, and they can fend for themselves relatively easily. They don't need a big logistics trail as much as a heavy unit would be, like a tank battalion, which I commanded. But the issue is, until the president articulates what the goal is, we have no clue why they're going in and what they're intended to do. And as a result of that, it appears as if this is just a stopgap measure so that something worse doesn't happen. But it doesn't seem that he's ever willing to take the next step, which is to go and to actually defeat our enemies so that they no longer bother Europe, they no longer bother us, and they no longer bother the Middle East. And that's exactly what the goal should be. But he doesn't seem able to articulate that, to identify the enemy, to identify the ultimate goal, and then to apply resources against them.
Let me play what our friend KT McFarland said. She's been on this broadcast many times. She said this on our friends on Fox News. Take a listen.
I am second to none in my respect for the special forces, but to send 250 of them over to defeat ISIS is a joke. What the president is doing is everyone is saying, look, we're losing this war. They're now in Europe. Terrorists are in Europe. Terrorists are throughout North Africa. They're throughout the Middle East. They're starting with the ISIS state of the Islamic State. What are you going to do about it? And so he has something he's got to do. What's he going to do? He's going to throw a couple of troops at it.
Pretty strong words from KT.
Mm-hmm.
Wes, I mean, is that all we're doing here?
Seems like it. You know, in most situations with past presidents, you know, you tell the military what the end state is that you're looking for. What am I trying to accomplish here? And then the military, they lay out plans and operations and come back and give you options. But the president's role is to say, this is how I want it to end. And that's simply not happening.
Yeah, I mean, this is to me, the problem is, I go back to what I said in the beginning of the broadcast, not defining the mission. Inadequacy of who you're sending over, as far as they're very capable, but not enough of them. The military has to make that decision. We know military advisors, including three past secretaries of defense, said this is not the way to do this. ISIS is not shrunk in size. They are still a force in the region. And now you've got this alliance with Russia, Syria, and Iran. And this is called dangerous. It is dangerous to the United States. It's dangerous to Israel. It's a danger to our Arab allies in the Middle East. This is a bad situation. And we are one incident away from a major catastrophe. And Wes is going to share something. I'm glad everybody's able to listen. This is where we don't just talk about it on this broadcast. And we've got a lot of new stations here. We're engaged in these issues on national security and national defense. But Wes, you shared an incident. And I think it's important for people to hear it, how one incident could really have an impact.
Well, and to clarify, and it relates to that with the previous caller, when we talk about 250 Special Forces soldiers being on the ground in Syria, they're not there en masse. They may go in on transports fairly en masse, but they operate in much smaller teams.
Right.
But as I was sharing earlier, in order to get around on the battlefield, in order to do their advise and assist mission, which is what they're supposed to be doing, they have to be transported. And when I was the senior ranking chaplain at Dover, one of the most memorable dignified transfer missions that I was involved in was when a Chinook helicopter was shot down in Afghanistan, and there were 32 Special Forces soldiers on there, plus the crew of the helicopter.
Yep.
And so we had multiple bodies coming in. What our soldiers are doing both in Syria and Iraq, it's fraught with danger, and without a clear mission, if and when that happens, and I pray that it doesn't happen, it's going to seem like such a waste, and goes back and begs the question, why are they there? What is their mission?
Well, that's the question of the day is, what is the mission? Why is that mission not defined? But I'm telling you, folks, if we're about to hit a primary tomorrow in Indiana, which may well determine the Republican nominee for president of the United States. Elections have consequences. The situation in the Middle East lays at the door of the President of the United States. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Yep, let's go to Mike in Wells, Maine, line 3.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I want to congratulate you folks on Friday's big win. That's really awesome.
Yeah, for those, again, just joining us, Sergeant Martland had a great, great win, and that was perfect in the sense that you had a man that was going to be taken out of the military, and at the end of the day, we had a victory. And that victory was that he was able to stay in, and it was because 450,000 of you responded. Go ahead.
Yes, and my question is this. Our president, for the longest time, has been very noncommittal in his foreign policy in that region.
Yep.
And we're going to defeat ISIS with, and he calls them ISIL, which is weird.
What's not weird? He's defining the enemy by their aspirations, which is something in Leadership 101, never do to your enemy. So ISIS was originally the Islamic State. Then it became the Islamic State. First it was the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. Because that's the territory that they had. They had portions of Syria, portion of Iraq. Their desire was to be ISIL. Now it's even beyond that. ISIL meaning the Levant. The Levant is the greater Middle East. That includes Israel. That includes Jordan. So that was their aspiration. Now they just want to be known as the Islamic State. And that's because they want world domination. Finish up with your comment, though, but I want to be very clear for people to understand that I've always objected to the president using that terminology.
Amen. I agree. And my question is, what in the world made him decide, first, we're going to just get him with airstrikes.
Yep.
Now he's sending a small, minuscule amount of people over there. What was the turning point to make him decide to do
this? Well, I'm going to turn to Skip and Wes on the military aspect of it. I'm going to tell you what it was. He had to do something, and what he was doing was not working. Skip?
Well, that's exactly right. When we begin to find the ISIS troops and ISIS forces attacking in Paris, attacking in Belgium, attacking the United States, then his rhetoric that we have them under control and they're the JV team no longer works, and there's a demand, especially from the people of the United States, saying we must take action. So he had to do something. Now he's doing as little as he can get away with, but he had to do something. And that's at least at least the people of the United States have put enough pressure to get him to move. It's we need him to move him to the next step where he gets serious about actually defeating them.
Wes, you put in your article that's up at ACLJ.org, Words Matter and So Do Boots, that in fact the U.S. is engaged in direct combat with ISIS, mm-hmm. because that's the fact. Yet the president continues to deny that. He's not going to send troops on the ground to fight ISIS. This is inconsistency. Where does an inconsistency like this lead?
I think it leads to destroying morale in the military, of the troops.
Yep.
And ultimately, it can lead to defeat on the battlefield itself. Somehow or another, it seems like the president doesn't realize that ISIS really is, they are an existential threat, not just to the region, but to the United States of America. Mm. And it seems like they're just not simply approaching it that way.
All right, let's go ahead and take another couple of calls if we can.
I believe so. We have just a few minutes left, but we'll do our best. Let's go to Sean, who's calling from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Hi, Sean.
Jay,
yes,
God bless you.
Thanks.
And yours.
Thanks.
I noticed that all the presidential candidates have do not have prior military experience, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, let's see. This time, I don't know if Kasich does. I don't think he does. I know Donald Trump did not serve, nor did Ted Cruz, nor did Hillary Clinton, nor did Bernie Sanders. You're correct.
Awesome. I was just going to ask what your take was on that.
Well, look, I think military experience is important. I don't think it means you have to have it, but I do think it's important, especially important in the world we live in. But more important than is your own military experience, the more important thing, Sean, is taking the advice of those who do have military experience. In other words, your board of military advisors, your cabinet, your secretary of defense, and their generals, and the military, and the officers that are setting forth what the mission should be and how it should be accomplished. So it's not just a lack of having military experience that is problematic, and I think that is really problematic in a situation like this, but I don't think it's a mandatory prerequisite. The Constitution certainly doesn't say that. But it's not willing to take the advice of your commanders in the field. That, to me, is the more troubling of the issues. And that's why we're talking about this special program today to deal with this. All right, we've got a rapid-fire round coming up and just a minute left here before the break.
That's right. Some of the lines are about to clear up. So if you're watching right now, 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll do the best to get to all these calls that come in the next segment.
We'll be back with more in just a few moments. Again, a huge win for Sergeant Charles Martland. We've got that posted on the website as well at ACLJ.org. Great article up, Words Matter and So Do Boots by Wes Smith. And a lot more ahead, including your calls and comments. But folks, we need to celebrate that Sergeant Martland is going to stay in the United States Army defending us. Now, I'm glad we were able to defend him, but he's the one that's doing the work. It was worth the effort, sure. There's many others in the same situation in our military right now, and we're working on those cases. Not just talking about them, working on them. Back with more in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255.
That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
And that's what we're going to do. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to them. My guest, by the way, Wes Smith, retired colonel, United States Army, senior military advisor to the ACLJ. Skip Ash, senior counsel for the ACLJ, in charge of our national security law and military law practice. And he is also a retired colonel. We got a lot of Army representation at the ACLJ.
Yeah, we got a couple lines open, too. 1-800-684-3110. If you call in right now, we'll guarantee you'll make it on the air. 1-800-684-3110. But let's start off with Ron, who is calling from Lincoln, Nebraska, on line four.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Jay. How you doing?
Good, sir.
I'm a 26-year retired veteran.
Thank you, sir, for your service.
And Army.
Yes, sir.
And this, I hate to say this, but this is an echo of Vietnam all over again. Mm. They're sending the troops in. They either don't send in enough or they send them in with their hands tied behind their backs and won't let them do their jobs. These soldiers are trained to do one thing, and that's win. Let them do their jobs.
So defining the mission and the rules of engagement, Wes, very important.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
The lack of it here, or right. What we understand to be the lack of it, and there's been, look, I mean, former secretaries of defense, including from his own parties, have come out very critical of this.
Yes, they have. Secretary Gates was just saying last week on an interview with one of the networks that that the president, simply doesn't take the advice of the people who really know, how to go about this fight, and that there is micromanagement. That's the word he used from the White House. One of the things I mentioned in the article on our website is that, the president actually gets involved with, drone attacks and thumbs up, thumbs down on those, and made the statement that he wanted to only do drone attacks if there was the near certainty of no civilian casualties. I wish that were possible in all cases in war. It's simply not.
Let me play a comment between Senator Graham and General Dunford. This was just a couple weeks back. And take a listen to this.
The military strategy that we're embarked on is the best way to destroy ISIL, and it's what you recommended, or is it limited by conditions put on you by the White House?
Senator, to clarify, so if I say...
Would you do more if you could?
I would do more if I could, but the limitation is not just a political limitation. Part of it is our partners on the ground.
So, Skip, let's define what they're talking about there. Does that mean, which is I think it does, that our allies on the ground don't have the will to fight?
I think that's part of it. Plus, they don't have, when we withdrew from Iraq without having a status of forces agreement, the entire army that we had trained fell apart and fell back into sectarian violence and sectarian competition. The Shia drove out the Sunnis and drove the Sunnis into the arms of ISIS. The president was short-sighted on that, should have taken the action. Yep. And if you don't have people down there who are willing to fight for something, if they don't see anything worth fighting for, then it doesn't matter how many advisors we send.
Got a couple of good comments that have come in. I want to make sure we get to them. Craig just said, so basically it seems like we're not fighting to win. We were fighting to not lose, and this is madness. Mm. We also had a comment coming from Steve, and just curious, how does this affect Israel?
Well, I think it puts Israel in a pretty tough spot because you've got, Wes mentioned this asymmetrical warfare. That's what this is. You've got proxy wars going on, and now you've got Russia in the middle of this. So you've got Russia, Iran, and Syria. You've got Russia being muscular. I mean, they haven't been like this in a long time. And that flexing of their muscles in the region, we saw that, Wes, with most recently with the flyovers, I mean, 50 feet. I think it's changing the dynamics in the region significantly. Russia coming in as a player again is not good for stability.
Absolutely it's not. And they're coming in backing not just Iran and Syria, but the regime in Iraq is now basically allied with that whole mission there.
Yeah, so and you got Iran, Skip. You were saying Iran is allying now with Iraq. And Iraq is primarily a Sunni country.
Well, Iraq has, it is if you count the Kurds.
Yeah.
But with the Arabs, it's primarily Shia among the Arabs. But But Israel also now, we keep forgetting that ISIS has moved into the Sinai Desert. So Israel now has a potential ISIS
on the
Golan
door.
Heights, mm-hmm. and ISIS potentially up with Hezbollah in Lebanon. And now they've got ISIS also on their southern border with the Sinai Desert. So it's getting pretty antsy over there for the Israelis.
No doubt about it. All right, we're going to take some more calls. Last couple here.
Yep, last couple of calls, 1-800-684-3110 if you've got a last-minute second to
Bobby sure has been holding a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, Bobby, Colorado, you've been holding 30 minutes. Thanks a lot, Bobby, for waiting.
Sure. First of all, I'd like to say God bless you to all of you for doing
Thanks.
The things that you do
sure.
for our country and our people. Secondly, I would like to say I'm so saddened and afraid for our soldiers. And I'm not trying to be flippant, but is this man in his right mind, really? I mean, has anybody really questioned that? Because look at all the things that are going on and mm-hmm. the things that he does. And, I mean, there's 20,000 plus.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the problem, Bobby. This is actually his worldview. So this is not naive. This is not I don't understand. This is actually his worldview. He is living out his worldview. Wes?
I think it's absolutely correct. It's ideology that's really driving this. And, you know, the soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines I talk to, and I get this too as a retiree,
right.
we're not looking for someone that is a requirement you have to have served in the military to be
right.
the commander-in-chief, but we need a commander-in-chief who values the military and who
right.
defers to their leadership, and so that the average soldier on the field says the president has my back, and that's lacking here.
Yeah, I think it is. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Holly's calling from California on line one.
Hi, Holly.
Welcome.
Thanks. I appreciate all of you,
Thanks.
But especially Skip and Wes. Thank you for fighting for my freedom. But I want to say that the two words that really come to mind for me are nebulous and ambiguous.
Yeah.
I feel like his strategy is nebulous, ambiguous. He's saying try. He's not only saying see what works. He said we're going to try to see what works. And in saying so, I feel like he has stated a mission, but number one, it's a nebulous mission. It's not clearly defined.
Yep.
And number two, it's the wrong one.
But understand this also, Holly. He actually thinks we're in the best of times. This is President Obama's speech, a segment of it, from Germany, literally a few days ago.
I want to begin with an observation that, given the challenges that we face in the world and the headlines we see every day, may seem improbable, but it's true. We are fortunate to be living in the most peaceful, most prosperous, most progressive era in human history.
Now, to me, Holly, and I'll get Skip to jump in quickly here, that's absurd, okay? You tell that to the people in the Middle East. Tell that to the Christians being persecuted in North Africa. Tell that to Germany, which he did, who are suffering now with a refugee crisis they cannot manage. Skip quickly.
I think you're exactly right. That shows a person totally
detached.
Not in reality.
Right. Totally detached. And the reality of that detachment is a worldview he's implementing mm-hmm. that could have really dangerous consequences.
He's putting the lives of people at risk, our allies and our own troops, simply because of this worldview. You know, someone said a while back that whether or not you're in combat, the enemy gets a vote on that.
Yep.
Well, the enemy also gets a vote that can really reverse your worldview, and it can be a blatant reality check for the president.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. We appreciate everybody coming in. Tomorrow, the politics of the state of Indiana, and what does it mean for the next determination of the Republican presidential nominee? I think Indiana could be pivotal. It could be a clincher for Donald Trump. It could also put a situation where Ted Cruz, with the win, would put Donald Trump's 1237 that much more difficult to get. We'll find out that tomorrow. We'll have full analysis on Wednesday. That'll do it for the broadcast today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-9-